Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Most Christians know about the four Gospels in the New Testament, but they struggle to define what the Gospel actually stands for. Jesus is the founder of the Christian Church, and the Gospel has to do with what Jesus wants his followers to do. The ministry of Jesus was supernatural, beginning with the incarnation into a human body, and continued as Jesus commissioned his followers with the same power. However, we can only move supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, and this is where the efforts of the modern church fall flat. They have been abandoned by the Holy Spirit, and their attempts to fulfill the Great Commission are failing because the supernatural aspect is missing. Instead of soaring like eagles, church members are like fat turkeys scrounging for crumbs on the ground. This message is entitled, What is the Gospel? Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we have just had here a dedication service for two men that we licensed to the ministry, Angela Tina from Anaheim, California, and we had Alexei Belayev here from Sacramento. And I think we're going to save this dedication service and have it up on our website for people to see in time to come. Tremendous testimonies. Very good prayer, so I'm just praising God for that. You've been sitting a long time. Let's stand right now. We're going to pray quickly here. So get your chance to stretch a little bit. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments we have here today. And Lord, I'm just going to ask you right now to minister, Father God, in such a way that you will be honored, the kingdom of God will expand, and that people shall be touched by the Holy Spirit. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do a little different thing here today. I got a sermon here that is probably good for about an hour and a half. But I'm going to do some highlights. And this message is going to be dedicated to Angelo and Alexei, and anyone else in the future that is called into the ministry. And you got an outline, so I'm just going to be speaking on that as we go down. So the first thing that we want to understand as Christians is we are second covenant people. Second covenant people. You can read about it, but we're going to go to Ephesians here quickly. I'm going to settle something down. That's Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 1. It's Ephesians chapter 1. The first covenant was between God and Israel. And that was not perfect, because the people could not keep it. Jesus came. He lived in sin. This life, he died on the cross, his body died on the cross, his body resurrected the third day, and through his death and resurrection, we have salvation. And he simply opened up the second covenant for us. Now, Jesus is the head of the church. And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to drop it down to verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also that which will come, and has put all things under his feet, that Jesus, and put all things under Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus to be the head of over all things to the church, which is Jesus' body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church is not a denomination. It is the body of Christ. Wherever two or three people meet in the name of Jesus, there is the church. The church is people, not buildings, not denominations. The second thing that I want to bring out here is that the second covenant is an agreement between God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus hung on a cross, and the Father was in heaven, Jesus paid for all sins, from Adam and Eve to the last person to live. And that means that anyone can be saved. But not everyone is going to be saved. You've got to cash it in. You've got to receive it in order to be saved. The next point I want to talk about is, what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. The four accounts of Jesus' life as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the four gospels. The teaching of Jesus recorded by these four men, along with his death and resurrection, is considered the gospel of good news. So if we simply... there's some scriptures here that I'd like to read yourself. We have in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 36. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 27. But here's the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth. He was incarnated. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. His body died on the cross. He paid for all our sins. Jesus went to paradise 3 days and three nights. He came back. His body was resurrected. He spent 40 days with his apostles and the others. And then he ascended to heaven. And someday he's coming back. And we can be saved through Christ. By default, if you do not receive Christ and you die without having accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, by default, you will go to hell. Understand this. The moment a baby is conceived, that baby is condemned to death, to hell, and later to the lake of fire. What do you have to do to go to hell? The answer is nothing. Do nothing, and you will end up in hell automatically. From there, the lake of fire, even worse. If you want to go to heaven, you got to take action. You got to believe. You got to receive. You got to repent. You got to be born again if you want to go to heaven. And it is available daily, 24/7. But the moment you die, the moment your body dies, if you do not make a decision for Christ, it's over. Once you die, your body dies. You can say, oh, I believe now. Oh, I can see it now, believe. Once you die, it's over. You're either in or you're out. The next thing I want to talk about is that Jesus had a supernatural ministry. The Godhead consists of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son came to earth to inhabit the human body and pay for the sins of mankind. Let's just turn quickly to the Gospel of Luke. That's the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to pick it up here in 1:26. 1:26. And in the sixth month, that's after John the Baptist had been conceived, The angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let me take 2 minutes to explain something to you, because you've got to understand the custom of the time. The custom at the time of Jesus was, when a boy and a girl, maybe 3 or 4 years old, the parents would look around in the village, and those that had a boy would simply look for someone that had a girl, and the parents would meet, and they would say, okay, I would like to have your daughter to be my boy's wife. And they would dicker a little bit and says, well, you know, we want to have at least 3 chickens, 1 goat, and a little bit of gold. So the boy's parents had to buy the girl. So they got an agreement and said, okay, we're going to sign up for this. They made an agreement. And the 4 parents would go down to the courthouse. And the courthouse in the Bible is called the gate. When you read, they sat at the gate, that means they sat at the courthouse. They would go down to the courthouse and simply say that we have agreed that we have Joseph here and Mary. They're going to be married, and we now want to have them engaged or espoused. So they would record that, and now little Joseph might be 4 years old, and Mary might be 3.5 years old. And they are now pronounced espoused. They are now engaged. After that, Mary goes home with her parents. Joseph goes home with his parents. And they raise them up. And when the time comes for the wedding, they might be 25 years old, 26 years old. Then the parents of the son, the father of the son, paid for the wedding. In the United States, it's the opposite. That's why we don't understand the Bible. So they have a wedding day, and that is when it was consummated. So now, go back here and look at this here now. To a virgin espoused, to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. They'd never been together. They were legally married, but not consummated, espoused. And when she saw the angel, she was troubled at the saying, and cast into mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, be forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, should be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom shall there be no end. Here is the story of this birth. Jesus Christ has always existed. Jesus is the one that created Adam and Eve. He's the one that talked to Moses. He's the one that came and had dinner with Abraham. He's always existed. So what happened is that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, impregnated her, got her pregnant. Today we do this with women. If they can't have a child, we take an egg out. He fertilized it with a sperm, put it back in, and she has a child. So to us, a virgin birth is not a big deal any longer. It used to be a big deal before we knew how to do stuff like this. Now, once that egg had been fertilized and there was life, this is when Jesus came in and simply possessed this new human body. But Jesus did not have a soul. So But we read about Jesus being born, growing up, ministering. We had a body with sinless blood and Jesus in it, but there was no soul because Jesus didn't have a soul. He is God. In the box here, I wrote this. Jesus does not have a birthday. He has always existed by physical, but his physical body from Mary has a birthday. So it is blasphemy to talk about, oh, baby Jesus, you know, Jesus is born on December 25th. 25th of December is the wrong day anyway. So the whole thing is a mess up. And Jesus never said, celebrate my birth. You never find in the New Testament where they celebrated the birth of Jesus. They celebrated his death and resurrection with communion. They celebrated his resurrection. And we celebrate him as being eternal. Now, Jesus himself, and this might be hard for you to understand if you've been in a church where they really haven't divided this up. Jesus, God himself, did not die on the cross. His body died. Jesus left his body, went to paradise, preached in paradise to Abraham and the others, went into hell, preached in hell and said, I have made the atonement. You missed it. Went back to paradise. On the third day, his body was resurrected. Jesus came back, got into his body, and walked out of the tomb. Jesus is God. He never died. While hanging on the cross, I'm down on the bottom of my sermon here. The pain he experienced in his physical body was transferred to himself. So Jesus, as God, did suffer because he was connected to the body. So the pain, the sickness, everything was, what you call it, inhuman. And then when Jesus was hanging on the cross, his body hanging there, God the Father took every sin from Adam and Eve to the last man living and put all that sin, put it on his body. Tremendous amount of sin. And then God, in his wrath, judged Jesus. In other words, he hit him so hard that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's when he paid for our sin. Only God himself, through Jesus, could carry such a heavy sin burden. Think about it. Every murder, every adultery, every fornication, every lie, everything that anyone done on this earth, and you know the sins that we have committed, every one of these were laid on him. And then Jesus said, pay for that, pay for that, pay for them. And for 3 hours, he paid and paid and paid until he finally said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He walked out. He left the body hanging on the cross. He walked out and went into paradise, which was on the earth, and spent 3 days and 3 nights until he came back. Now, the ministry of John the Baptist was one of repentance. And I want to spend a little bit more time on this. So turn to the book of Acts, chapter 19. The book of Acts, chapter 19. And we read this. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came into Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost as you believed? And he said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which would come after him, in Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Notice now, in the churches today in generality, we have two types of churches. We got the churches of repentance, and we got the churches of repentance and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got, I would call the churches of repentance, I call them the turkey farm. They simply never leave the ground. They're born again. They walk around, as turkeys do. They walk around getting fat before they slaughter them. But there's no power. The church that has the battle of the Spirit is a supernatural church. And this is what I want to stress. Angelo and Alexi, Jesus' ministry was supernatural. It's a supernatural ministry. And let's look in Matthew 11, 1 through 6. That's Matthew chapter 11 and the first few verses here. And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which they do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, if you go into any town USA or any town in Western Europe or whatever, where you are living in the world, and you go and ask this, pastor, in your church, do the lame walk? Do the blind receive sight? Are the lepers cleansed? Do the deaf hear? Are the dead raised? Are people healed? Are people baptized in the Holy Spirit? And you will find that 99% of pastors will say, no, we don't do that anymore. We have church. We get saved here. We baptized in water. We have communion. But that's about it. There's nothing supernatural here. You know what you got? A turkey farm. Dead. No supernatural. Jesus was born supernatural. His body was conceived supernaturally. Jesus came in supernaturally and possessed the body. Jesus walked in his body supernaturally. When he died on the cross, he supernaturally left the body. Because Jesus said, no one takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up again. Supernatural. Resurrected. Moved in the supernatural. And he said, now, this is how I want you to live. And what are we doing as Christians? We says, well, I never heard that. I'm not sure I've got faith for that. You know, that's not our tradition. Turkey farm. Do you understand why the world is the way it is? The church has no power. People don't care if you go to church. Today, about 50 million Americans are in church. That's about an average. 50 million are in church, some kind of church. Monday is going to be the same as Friday. No change. Ask yourself, how can 50 million people go to church And then Monday, no change. What did they do in church? They warmed the pews, put some money in the offering bag, sang some songs, heard a message, and went home. No power. I want you to turn right now to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look upon the marching orders of Jesus. This is not what Jesus said. If this church, if the church is the church of Jesus, he's ahead, shouldn't we do what he told us to do? Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, we read this. And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave the disciples power to cast out demons, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. He authorized them. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. Now, Angela and Alexa, this is your charge. This is what Jesus said. Go and do that. He's not saying to us, go out and build buildings, build hospitals, start rescue missions, do all this kind of work. Well, it's nice to have that. But Jesus was not interested in that. He wanted people to be born again. He wanted a supernatural church. Because if you have a supernatural church and people get healed, you're going to have all kinds of things happening. You will not need, people are not going to be homeless. People are not going to be sick. You're not going to have the problem. Let's move on to Luke chapter 9. So we get a second witness here. That's the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And we pick it up here in verse number 1. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Simple. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. That's part of the calling of a Christian. Luke chapter 10. And after the thing, the Lord appointed on the 70 also, sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place where he himself would come. He had 70 other men. He gave them the same authority, sent them out. And listen what happened. Verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to death through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan lightly fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow, that's supernatural. That's power. Amen. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit is up to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So we don't rejoice necessarily in that. We rejoice our names are written in heaven, but we move in the supernatural. Now turn to Matthew chapter 28. Like I said, I'm just briefly going over this message. I'm giving you the highlights. I'm giving you the meat. We're not looking at the bones right now. In verse 18, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. How much is that? Everything. Now you're going to have faith. Do you believe that Jesus has all the power? Or are you still on a turkey farm and you don't know? Go you therefore and teach all nations. That means universal, everywhere. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. teaching them to observe a few things that I told you. But don't do too much. It might overload them. That's how this preached in churches today. Here's what Jesus said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, listen. Either you don't say you believe the Bible unless you believe it. I mean, I have a lot of turkey friends. I'm not going to put a denomination. I'm just going to call them turkey friends. They say, well, we believe the Bible from cover to cover. No, you don't. You're lying. You believe parts of it. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, you don't believe that. When it comes to healing, you don't believe that. When it comes to casting out demons, you don't believe that. I have worked with people that have been ministers' wife or the ministers and people, and it's just generic right now. But I have one particular person that was so demonized. Husband was a pastor. And she was in depression and just down in the dumps. Couldn't function. So what does her husband do? Pastor, he simply says, you know, let's send you to the shrink. He set up with a psychiatrist. Set up with a psychologist. Counseling. Try to talk in and blah, 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 blah. And what this lady needed was the demons to be cast out. Amen. Once she started working with her, she began to recover. And she said, why didn't anyone do that to me 40 years ago? Because they were on a turkey farm. And on a turkey farm, you have no miracles. You just trot and find the stuff on the ground and just eat what you can, the crumbs. Jesus' church is supernatural. Look on the outline there. This is what we are supposed to do. Cast out demons. Heal all men of sickness and disease. Preach the kingdom of God at hand. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. And do not charge people for your ministry. There's a lot of deliverance ministers out there. I found them on Omega Man Radio. You had them on Sheila Zielinski and a number of others. You know what? They are expensive buggers. I have people, you know, that say, well, we had to pay $1,000 to get this guy to come to our house and, you know, try to take the demons out. I have heard others that are charging $5,000 for deliverance sessions. Now, you got a minister in Georgia, I'm not going to put a name on it. And, you know, there's nothing free there. Matter of fact, if you want to have phone counseling, the going rate is $100 a minute. Excuse me, an hour. $100 an hour, and they would be glad to talk to you over the phone. Jesus said, don't charge. Freely you receive, freely you give. Well, we don't make any money on that. Well, you're not in the ministry to make money. You're in the ministry to minister to people and meet their needs. God will take care of you. You know, most ministers today that have some kind of, what do you call it, national ministry, they don't fly commercial airlines. They got their own airplanes. They don't drive, you know, regular cars. It's, you know, Bentleys, Rolls-Royce. They have all the cars, you know, Maseratis, you know. They got at least two homes. You got to have a vacation home. You got to have a regular home, you know. And, I mean, these people live high on the hogs. And the American people, the people generally, are so stupid that they feed these ministries. When these guys come on the air and says, you know, we got to maintain the ministry, we got to need, you got to give, you know, whatever, we're going to give you this pen, we're going to give you oil, we're going to give you this, you know, we're going to give you that, you know, and you can give $100, $200, you know, we got to get the ministry going. What they should say is, I need more money so I can live high on the hogs. And you're going to be stupid enough to send me money. They're slick. Let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. John chapter 16. The Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. John 16. We pick it up for verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go another way, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because I believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, my wife and I are raised on a turkey farm in Salt Lake City. That's a church that we ended up in that God led us to. And I remember very vividly, we were down, one Saturday we took a lady out that we were ministering to, helping out socially. And we were going to Sears, Roebuck and Company. And I remember walking in to the store, and they had an escalator, and just as we turned the escalator, Ina was in front of me, she was walking, you know, vibrant. Suddenly, it was like somebody whacked her head like this, and she fell down. Now, being on the turkey farm, I didn't know what to do. So, we simply said, well, you know, that ends the outing for today. So, I took her home and nursed her. From that day on, she had a headache. I mean, she had a migraine headache so bad at times that we had to put all the blinds down, and she just sat there in darkness. And that went on for 5-6 years. And then we left the turkey farm, came to the turkey seminary, where, you know, we continued. So it was a little bit better. So one day, there was a full gospel businessman meeting, and there was a guy by the name of Bill Basansky. He was from the Ukraine. And had been brought up from under communism, but been brought up with the family. And he had a ministry of healing. He was a full gospel man, preacher. So we went there, and there was probably about 1,000 people there and so on. And so he said, you know, I'm going to pray for the sick. So he just walked down between the lines. So I stood up, and Ina stood up, and I said, you know, hopefully something will happen. Being in Turkey, you know, hopefully something will happen. So, he comes to me, lay hands on me, pray, you know. I'm not sick, you know. I don't feel nothing. He touches Ina, and suddenly Ina collapses, whoop, in a pile. And I thought, wow. She got up, you know, that headache was gone. I said, now, did you hurt yourself? She said, no. I just felt, you know, like something great came over me. And I just slowly floated to the floor like a feather. I said, no, you went down like a rock. Now, so this is from part of my introduction. That I realized, okay, now this is real. But if you've been on a turkey farm too long, you need to simply say, no, I'm not going to be a turkey anymore. I'm going to be an eagle. I got wings. I'm going to learn to fly. Acts 1, 4 through 8, as we come down here. Acts chapter 1. And we pick it up here in verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, the apostles heard that. They were not interested in that. They wanted to find out, when is the kingdom of Israel to be restored? Jesus talked about power. They talk about politics. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, this is the choice we have. I have said this, that God has a mechanical arm. He has a spiritual arm. Sometimes God uses the mechanical arm. Sometimes he uses the spiritual arm. But we have the option to go for his spiritual arm. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. And this is a chapter, you know. When I was in seminary, I was told this. They told the class this. Never preach from Mark chapter 16. Only preach on the first 14 verses. Never use the rest of it. You can't do that. That's what a turkey leadership told our turkeys. Listen to this now. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a fantastic message. It's ours. But you know what? Most people simply, I don't know about that. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming their word with signs. God will confirm his word. He will confirm the word. Now, here's an option you have. And this is what I learned. 50 years of the ministry, I've learned this. If I have 100 people Sunday morning, Sunday night I have 50. Wednesday night a prayer meeting, I have 25. Every time I call a prayer meeting, people say, well, that's just a prayer meeting. So they're not interested. So most Christians do not want to advance in the kingdom of God. They are happy being turkeys. Just walking around. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah, I'm doing this and that, you know, and I got this and that, you know. So if you are content, of course you're not going to go anyplace. I tell people this in high school. You cannot live on minimum wage. When you get out of high school and you don't really do anything with it, if you are paid minimum wage, you cannot live on that in America. There's no way. There's not enough money. So, most people realize that, and they work hard to get some kind of education or a skill so that they can make more money, so they can have an apartment, a house, car, and so on, have essentials. So you work for that. Now, there are different type of people. Some people are homeless. You try to help homeless people. They don't want any effort. They don't want to do anything. So you can't get them out of that place. So people simply, you got to make up your mind. Do you want to be successful or do you want to be a dud? You know what a dud is? It's a hand grenade that you throw in combat and it doesn't explode. That's a dud. So you have to make up your mind. Do you want to be somebody in the kingdom of God? Or are you going to be just a turkey hanging around, waiting to die and go to heaven? And when you get to heaven, Jesus is going to look down and say, oh, no. Look who's coming home. Oh, no. And, you know, you got nothing to show for it. Mediocre. Did nothing. Just hung around. Got saved. But just hung around. And now, we got a thousand-year kingdom coming up. In a thousand-year kingdom, we're going to reign and rule with Christ. He's going to look at you and says, you know, you ain't going to rule here. I'm going to put you over here. I might have, you know, to pump water for the people of the poor. You got into eternity, and God has all kind of things forever, all kind of places to go and things to do, and you come up. And Jesus said, well, look, you know, you didn't know a whole lot on earth. Here's your rag. Polish the streets of gold. That's your job. Polish the streets of gold. And you go there for eternity. But praise God, I'm not in hell. Praise God, I'm not in the lake of fire. And then you wonder, I was stupid on earth. I could have got more than this. I could be ruling. I could be flying. I could do all kind of things in heaven. Why didn't I do that? Because you were lazy. You didn't think. You didn't plan. People plan for retirement here. You try to save some money up. You're hanging on to Social Security. You hit 65. Now, I've had a lot of people that have been contractors. They worked under the table. Never paid any taxes. And then they try to have Social Security. And you know what they get? A couple hundred bucks. I say, is that all? Well, you didn't pay anything in. Well, don't we get all the same? No. It depends what you pay in. I can give you a name right now of a guy that I know really well. He was in the ministry. He's now Social Security. But you know, that guy did all the stuff on black market. I mean, you know, under the table. And today, you know, he's getting a very meager Social Security check the way he lived. Now, he wished, you know, that he would have done it differently. But it's too late. Why is it that we always wake up too late? Why can't we wake up before we are hurt? Why can't we take some action before the damage is done? So right now, you're alive. You still get a chance to do things. And God is calling you to begin to do something with your life. Let me read to you from my box here that we're done. Most churches today are like hybrid plants, which do not produce any kind of seed. In the old days, you buy tomato seeds, you plant them down. Tomatoes came up, you could take seed for the tomatoes, plant them the next year, and so on. You can't do that. It's all hybrid today. And the hybrid seed, they do not reproduce. There are human organizations working in the flesh that have been abandoned by the Holy Spirit. Instead of soaring like eagles, church members are like turkeys scrunching for crumbs on the ground. You see the Salvation Army people standing before the doors. Nobody done it, but they were about ding, 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 you know. And you put money in there. But these people do not preach the gospel. So, let me ask you this question in closing. So you find someone that's poor. You close them. You help them with money. You set them up. And they prosper. And they die in their sins. What have you done for them? Nothing. Sister Teresa worked in India for whole her life to feeding these people, helping all these people. None of them ever got saved. They died in their sins. They went to hell. Sister Teresa herself said at the end, she said, I'm in torment. I feel my life is in vain. I don't know the way. She was never saved. The focus is, you got to be born again. Once you're born again, now you can begin to build on that. And you can make a decision. I'm born again. I'm going to be an eagle, or you can be a turkey. Your choice. Your choice. God is not going to chase you. He is not going to say, let me give you this or that. He's there with his hand and saying, come and eat. If you don't, he's not going to put it in your mouth and then chew it for you. Now, if you're listening to me today, you're not saved, and you simply say, how do I get in on this? Very simple. Ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Profess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and he paid for all our sins. And you simply say, I believe that. Forgive me, Father God. Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. But we finish here. Pastor Charles Terrell is going to come. You're not going to see him, but you're going to hear him. You're going to see three crosses. Hear some nice music. And Pastor Charles is going to tell you how to be saved, read some scriptures, and pray with you so you can make sure today that you are saved. So please do that. And if you do that, write us, call us, we can help you. Now, to the rest of you that are here in the chapel and you that are watching, my challenge to you is this. Do an examination of your life. Where are you at? What is your level of activity? If you are high up there, moving in the Holy Ghost, God bless you. Keep on trucking. But if you're not satisfied, if you're not living a full life, make a decision today to change. Because Jesus will meet you. All you have to do is to say, God, forgive me for having been lazy spiritually, for not having really pressed in. And I want to have everything I heard today, healing, casting out of demons, power. I want to live in the supernatural. And things will happen to you. We love you. That's what I'm preaching hard at you. Trying to get you out of complacency. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and the good word here today. We know all turkeys are headed for the slaughterhouse, Lord. And we don't want to be part of that crew. We want to be the eagle crew. And we thank you, Father, for these two men that came here today to be dedicated to the gospel ministry and to preach the gospel. So we ask your blessing upon them. And I'm not sure, but I think we have one more Sunday left in this year. And then we're into 2019. And we want to lift up the United States of America to you. And the country that once was a light in the world, is the light is dimming down big time. And like Pastor John mentioned, the gates or the courts, they've all been corrupted, Lord. And the council chambers and on and on and on across the United States, they've all been corrupted by evil men. And we thank you, Father God, for some kind of turnaround. And we ask you to wake up all these fat turkey Christians to stand for righteousness in the gates of the cities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there, So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, What is the Gospel? There's a lot of confusion among Christians as to what the gospel means, but most can agree it has to do with what Jesus wants his followers to do. Jesus is the founder of the Christian church, and his ministry was supernatural, beginning with the incarnation, when the Son of God inhabited a human body. The physical body of Jesus had a birthday, but the Son of God did not. Think about that for a moment. It is also important to realize that Jesus' physical body died on the cross, but Jesus spent 3 days and nights in paradise until his physical body was resurrected, and he moved back into his body and commissioned his followers with the same supernatural power. However, this only comes about through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is where the modern church runs into trouble. Instead of soaring like eagles, the majority of church members are like fat turkeys scrounging for crumbs on the ground because the supernatural aspect is missing. They are trying to fulfill the Great Commission, not knowing that they have been abandoned by the Holy Spirit. Jesus clearly outlined what he wants his followers to do, and the weak modern church bears little resemblance to the formidable and dominant early church. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1683. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.